Welcome to episode 001 of the 54 Fly Fishing Podcast. Let's go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of the 54 Fly Fishing Podcast. My name is Michael from 54 North Outdoors, and before we get started onto our topic of today's episode, which is DIY or do-it-yourself trips, I wanted to take the time to introduce you to the podcast and what it'll hopefully look like going forward. One thing I've kind of noticed, I'm a big podcast listener myself. I listen to them at work, in the car, and one thing I've noticed is that a lot of the podcasts that are out right now are made by people who are professionals in the industry. They have a wealth of knowledge, but I feel kind of like we need that podcast that's made by that guy who fishes in his off time, and that's what this podcast is really for. It's geared for the weekend warrior, the everyday fly fisherman, the guy who works 9 to 5 and goes fishing on the weekend, or finds time in between his family to hit the river, or maybe the student who is going out on his weekend after he's done his studies. So in this podcast, we're basically going to talk about fishing. Hopefully, I myself will be able to give you a couple new tips. We'll be able to just have fun with fishing, and hopefully that's what it's going to be like going forward. Now, who am I? Like I said, my name is Michael, and I created 54 North Outdoors about 3 years ago, and it was a way for me to get my fishing knowledge that I had and some of my experiences and share them with the public via the internet. Now, I did that through editorials, blog posts, photography, videos, and mainly I just wanted to share my fishing adventures with everyone else and hopefully inspire others to kind of do the same thing going forward. And recently I decided that a podcast would be one of the best ways to do that. I've been fly fishing for about the last 15 years, and I've been a lifetime fisherman before that. Currently, I am a fourth-year student in a natural resource management program specializing in wildlife and fisheries, and I've also been a fly fishing guide for 2 years in the central interior of British Columbia, and I feel like one thing that I'll be able to bring myself to this podcast is I kind of have my feet in kind of each side of fishing. I have a little bit of the academic side from being a student. I am the everyday weekend warrior fly fisherman, which this podcast is looking to hopefully cater to. And I've also been a guide, so I have a little bit of experience with the industry. So hopefully as a listener, you'll be able to relate with me in some way, shape, or form. Now, if you want to find anything else related to 54 North Outdoors, you can check out our website at www.54northoutdoors.com. And on the website, we have photography, videos, we'll have our podcast episodes, as well as the show notes from this episode and future episodes, which you can find at www.54northoutdoors.com/podcast. A new thing that you'll also be able to find that I'm going to be releasing at the same time as this podcast is the 54 North Outdoors magazine, which is the Mend Fly Fishing magazine. This is a free magazine that will kind of complement the podcast. There is some overlapping themes in between the podcast and the issues, but it'll mainly serve as a written kind of way that you can also absorb the material. We also have a lot of photos in there, some other editorials that might not make it to the podcast, and it's just definitely worth a read, so you can check that out at www.54northoutdoors.com/magazine. Now that the boring introduction is over, we can get into the main topic of today's podcast, which is DIY trips. Now, like a lot of you, I am not dripping in cash. I do not make it rain. I do not have the kind of money to go on these big expensive trips that you see on Facebook, Instagram, pretty much all over social media, where They're going to the seashells to fish for giant trevally. They're going to Florida to fish for tarpon. They're going to Russia to fish for taimen. I don't have the money to do that. So I have really relied on DIY trips to be able to expand my horizons and really kind of do things new each and every year. Now, a DIY trip is a do-it-yourself trip. And what a do-it-yourself trip to me is you have a starting point A and you say, I want to go fishing at this point. And then there's a end point and you're doing everything in between. You're not relying on a guide, you're not relying on a company, you're not relying on anyone but yourself, and you're planning everything from the beginning, and I think that is very rewarding. Now, I've broken DIY trips into two main types of DIY trips, and the first is camping. Now, camping is roughing it. It's staying in the woods, on the riverbank, at a campsite, and camping is one of the cheapest ways that you can do a DIY trip. Your real only costs are the cost of your gas to get there. And if you already have a tent, sleeping bags, which I would say a fair majority of Canadians do, you need to pay for food, and that's really about it. Your other option is going with staying in a hotel, staying in an Airbnb. It's a lot more pricey. Both of those places can range anywhere from $50 to $150 a night, but you do have that comfort, and that's one of the big pros to a hotel and Airbnb is comfort. While camping can be comfortable, depending on where you are, it could be a little bit wetter. It is nice to be in a hotel to have that ability to warm up at the end of the day. While camping, it's cheap, but if you're in really nice weather, camping can be the way to go. So that's definitely a way to look at it. I myself have done both countless of times, and definitely those pros and cons have shown themselves. My first couple times of doing DIY trips, I've definitely done the camping route. I've definitely wanted it to be cheaper, but a lot of that time I was summer fishing for trout and I wasn't really worried about the weather. While in the last recent years, we've been going up and doing steelhead trips up on the North Coast, and those are in February, April. And this year we did the camping thing, and it was kind of cold. It wasn't the most uncomfortable. We got pretty lucky with the weather, but at other times it's been raining or snowing, and I've been really thankful for having somewhere to stay that is dry and warm. And also, maybe you're only doing a day trip where you don't need to worry about where you're staying, and that kind of just, that'll be a whole nother topic that we'll have to cover another day. But day trips are also another great way to do DIY trips, especially if it's within 3 hours of where you're living, because once you start getting into that 3, 4, 5 hour drive, you almost want to be able to put a couple days aside so you can have the time to fish it. Now, how do I plan my trips? I'm going to go over kind of my basic strategy of how I look at a DIY trip from point A and how I get it to where I'm fishing and kind of the stuff that I go into. Now, one of the first things that I look at when I am planning a do-it-yourself trip is I'm looking at what do I want to fish for? Or maybe it's a special area that I want to go to, but definitely the species is one of the main things that I'm looking at when I'm going fishing. If you're looking to go salmon fishing, that is going to have a completely different kind of pack list, a different kind of mindset than if you're going to do a high mountain trout trip. And I would say that the area also is extremely important. You might be going to maybe you're going to an urban center to go do fishing rather than out in the middle of nowhere, no service, not seeing a person for an extremely long amount of time. And that can really kind of alter how you're going to pack for the trip. Now, also another thing is maybe you're going with a bunch of buddies, maybe you're going with family, and going by yourself and going with a group is definitely going to be different. For obvious reasons, you're going to have more people there, but also you're going to need to pack differently. Someone might bring all the food while you bring all the camping gear. Knowing this stuff at the very beginning is very beneficial for making your planning run smoothly. Now that I have the kind of general outline of what I want to do, where I'm going, what fish I'm fishing for, who I'm going with, this is when I start to look at the timing of my trip. Is it a long weekend? Are you just going on a weekend? Are you going midweek? These things are really important when planning your DIY trip because it's going to make your accommodations either easier or harder. If you're going on a long weekend, say you're working Monday 9 to 5, you get that 3-day long weekend and you either want to go out by yourself, go with the family, go with friends. Maybe you're going to want to look to go somewhere where it's not as busy because, for example, I've been fishing on long weekends and I've looked and every pullout has a trailer in it. It has a trailer, a camper, someone with a tent, and it's really hard to kind of find those camping areas on those long weekends. So maybe that's a time when you're going to want to book a hotel room, book something well ahead of time so you know you're going to have somewhere to stay. Maybe book a campsite ahead of time so you have somewhere to stay, because nothing feels worse than planning to camp somewhere that's free and then getting there just knowing that it's filled up and you might not have anywhere to stay. Also, and vice versa, if you're planning your trip for midweek, you're not going to have to, if you're going to camp, there's not going to be a lot of people camping midweek. There might be a couple if it's a busy area. But you're definitely not going to need to worry so much about campsites being filled up. So it kind of all revolves around when you're going and where you're going, because some places may not be as busy on the weekends as other places. But just kind of keep that in mind when you're planning, that you could have to fight for camping spots. But if you go with a hotel, Airbnb, you can book it well ahead of time. And then the security is there that you're staying somewhere in your area. So now that we know what we're fishing for, where we're fishing, who's coming, and if you have somewhere to stay, where you're staying, the next part is my favorite part of DIY trips, and that is getting your gear ready. Now, depending on the trip, it's going to differ on what rods you're going to bring, what reels you're going to bring. Are you going to need a boat or not? So, for example, if I'm going salmon fishing, I'm going to have a spey rod, a switch rod, a single hand, all the lines I'm going to need for different sink rates. I'm going to need my leaders, my flies. For a bass fishing trip, I'm going to need to bring my bass equipment, stuff that is tailored for that fish. And that's when it really comes down to, if you don't know kind of where you're going, you're doing something completely new, do a little research. You can call some fly shops, send some fly shops an email, maybe talk to some people on social media that you know that have fish for this. And that way you're kind of setting yourself up for success and you're going to have a great time at the same time getting it all ready. Another thing that you're going to really want to take care of, and this is a big one for me, is you're going to want to get all your licensing set up. I know it's boring, but it's definitely needed. You're going to want to have if you're fishing for salmon, your salmon tags, classified waters, maybe you're going sturgeon fishing, sturgeon tag. You're just going to want to make sure that you have all that ready so you're not scrambling to get everything ready right before you leave or right when you get there. So one of the big ways that I find is best to organize all the gear you have is I create a pack list. I'll write this out like 10, 20 times before coming up to my trip to make sure I have everything I need. And this will have all my rod setups that I'm going to bring, all of the extra gear that I'm going to bring, even down to the clothes, my toiletries, everything that's going to go on the trip, because like not having something is literally the worst feeling. If you're trying to maybe save a bit of money, you don't want to go buy something that you already own. So by creating a pack list, it can really help you kind of prioritize what you need to bring. And maybe then you'll realize, hey, maybe I don't need this leader. Hey, maybe I don't need to bring this, I can leave it. That way you have kind of a tangible something to look at that when you're planning your trip, getting all your gear together, you can see what you're bringing, and as you're packing it, you can check it off. So after you've got all of this prep done, the next thing, and one of the last things that I do, is I pick out what I'm going to be eating while I'm out fishing. And I usually include all three meals, breakfast, lunch, dinner, some extra snacks. And it all depends also where you're staying, because like that's a big thing, is whether you're going to be camping, you're going to need to get all your groceries ahead of time. But if you're staying at a hotel or in town, you can kind of go day by day, go out to the grocery store, grab what you need for that day, and then maybe go back in the evening to get everything ready for the next day. So I'm going to share with you some of the favorite things that I like to bring for my breakfast while I'm fishing, my lunch, and my dinner. And I'm going to go off of this if I'm doing a camping trip, because depending on personal preference, if you're eating in town, you might want to go Chinese steakhouse. It all is up to a personal preference. But these are some of the foods that I really like to bring while I'm on a camping trip. So for breakfast, one of the like kind of my staple meal that I'll go for is I'll always like to have a instant oatmeal with me, a cereal with me, powdered milk, stuff that doesn't take a lot of time to cook. While having bacon, eggs, hash browns, veggies, stuff like that in the morning is great. If it takes a lot of time to cook, if you need to be out early, it's not really ideal, because it's going to take you a lot of time to cook. You're going to have time to eat it, and you're going to have cleanup time. So that's why I like to go with instant oatmeal, because you can eat it with heated water, boiling water. You can have it with cold water, and it'll give you the calories that you need. Another thing that I really like to have for breakfast is I like to have toast. I'll bring avocado with me, put that on the toast, stuff like that. And then I myself am not a coffee drinker, but definitely have instant coffee, a French press that you can put some grounds into to have your morning coffee. Or I usually have like a tea, a lemon tea in the morning, just something to warm you up and get you up in the morning and getting ready for fishing. So for my lunch, I am really bad about eating lunch during the day. But when I do eat lunch, I like to have kind of almost like your brown bag lunch that you would bring to school. I like to have some kind of sandwich, whether that's a like a ham sandwich, or usually I go with bagels because bagels are really dense. There's a lot of bread in a bagel. So I'll have a bagel, maybe a slice of cheese on there, maybe some avocado on the inside. I'll bring some granola bars, I'll have a piece of fruit. I'll maybe have an apple, a peach, nectarine, something with a lot of sugar in it. And then of course you're going to want to be drinking water throughout the entire day. So maybe you have something like some Gatorade crystals, something to add to your water just to give it a bit of flavor and replenish those electrolytes. Now for dinner, that is something that, depending on how long you're fishing, maybe you're having dinner on the river, or maybe you're having dinner back at camp, because a long day, you can get worn out, and dinner is where the sky's the limit. You can bust out the camp stove, you can have steaks, veggies, you can even cook some of the fish that you caught for the day. One thing about dinner, though, is that if you're going to go with steak, stuff like that, it's going to need to be refrigerated. So you're going to have to kind of mitigate that ahead of time by bringing a cooler. Maybe you have a generator with a plug-in fridge, or maybe your fridge is inside your camper. But usually I just go with the cooler and the ice. But one thing you're going to want to keep in mind is the shelf life on what you're bringing, and whether it gives off a bunch of smells. Like, I myself would probably not cook a lot of fish around my camp, just because you don't want to have a bear wandering into your camp while you're sleeping. And some of the last stuff I grab for food while I am out on the river or lake is I like to have some snacks, some quick stuff that I can just put in the boat, put in my waders, and eat while I'm fishing. So I'm big on having a bag of sunflower seeds. I'll eat those throughout the entire day. It just kind of gives me something to do while I'm fishing. Or I'll have a bag of gummy candies in there, and then that way you're just kind of eating throughout the day if you're someone like me who doesn't usually eat while they're fishing. So I find that these little snacks really help me out during my fishing day. And it's also really nice to have like a candy bar at the end of the day. You know, your long fishing day's over and you can go back to camp and you have a nice candy bar or a dessert waiting there for you. So now that you have all of your food, you know where you're going, you know what you're fishing for, that's pretty much about it for planning the DIY trip. Now you just got to go and do it. So to recap of what everything about everything that we've gone through is, we went over what is a DIY trip and basically how I myself plan my trips from what I'm fishing for, the area, the timing, whether it's on a long weekend versus midweek, where I'm going to be staying, what gear I'm going to need to bring, and the food that you're going to want to bring on this trip. Now, while the food list is completely subjective, you can bring whatever you want. I found that the foods that I've mentioned definitely work for me the best, but like I said, if you'd rather have something else, go for it. It's not set in stone, obviously, so you can kind of tailor your food list to whatever you're going to enjoy. And other than that, that is pretty much everything I have to say about DIY trips. Other than what I mentioned earlier, DIY trips are great because they are cheaper than going with a guide. You get to see the province, the state you're in, more close to where you're living or a little bit further. So you get a little more, as weird as it sounds, a little more intimate with your area. And one thing that I find with DIY trips is they are way more rewarding than any other fishing trip you can do. If I took a fish that I caught from being with a guide, which I have not yet paid to go fishing, but other than that, I'm fairly certain that I can say if I had a fish that I paid a guide to teach me how to catch and I paid the guide, I went and caught it, versus a fish that I planned and I put time into and I caught on my own, 100 times out of 100, and I'm sure a bunch of you at home are going to say that fish that you put the time in is far more rewarding. And actually, as it stands, as of tomorrow, me and my dad are actually going to be going and doing a DIY trip up to the North Coast now that salmon fishing has opened in the Terrace area. So we're going to be heading out there. We're doing it the hotel way. We're not camping it, so we're going to be staying in a hotel. But we're hopefully going to be able to get our hands on some sockeye, some coho, and maybe even do a little bit of steelhead fishing as well. But other than that, that is really everything I have to say for this very first episode of the Men Fly Fishing Podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening. If you want to check out more on DIY and some other articles that we've written, you can definitely check out our latest issue of the Men Fly Fishing magazine at 54northoutdoors.com/magazine. And also let me know what you do with your DIY trips, and you'll be able to find that in our show notes for this episode at www.54northoutdoors.com/DIY. Once again, my name is Michael from 54 North Outdoors, and I wanted to thank you for listening, and I will catch you on the next podcast. Thank you.